title slide states, I will be discussing with you the genetic inheritance of brown patch resistance in tall fescue. I use this picture to introduce the interaction we see between the pathogen Rhizoctonius lenii and our host tall fescue. This picture was taken of two seeded tall fescue plots at a research station in Adelphia, New Jersey that were inoculated with isolates of Rhizoctonius lenii. As you can tell, the plot on the left is showing severe disease symptoms of brown patch, while the plot on the right remains relatively healthy. This illustrates two important aspects. One, the damage that can be caused by brown patch, and two, the varying levels of susceptibility and resistance that we do see in tall fescue. To control brown patch, we have cultural practices available, such as reducing the amount of nitrogen applied to the turf. We also can use irrigation practices to reduce the leaf wetness duration. These help to reduce severity, but they will not eliminate it. The most effective control strategy would be fungicides. However, in the situations where tall fescue is mainly used, in home lawns, low maintenance situations, and parks, this is not really a feasible option. The most sustainable and effective tool for disease resistance would be through the development of resistant cultivars. And this has been an effective strategy used in other turf grass pathogen systems. Previous research looking at the interaction we see between tall fescue and brown patch is focused on cultural practices, which I've previously mentioned, also how the microenvironment of the turf canopy influences disease severity, as well as physiological and morphological components of resistance, such as how thick a cuticle, as well as leaf turnover rate, how that influences disease severity. But there has not been a lot of research done looking on the actual genetic mechanisms or inheritance. The objectives of this study were to determine the narrowest inheritability of brown patch resistance in tall fescue, as well as to evaluate other inheritance characteristics, more specifically heterosis and maternal effects. Just so that we're all on the same page, I would just like to briefly define some of the terms I'm talking about. Heritability can be thought of as simply the ratio of the separation of your genotypic variances from your environmental variances that make up your phenotype. It can be thought of in two senses. The first, broad sense heritability, which is just the ratio of total genotypic variance to the phenotypic variance. And this includes all additive, dominant, and epistetic interactions. And at this point, I would just like to let you know that I have done a two-year study from 05 to 06, where I did look at estimating the broad sense heritability of brown patch resistance in tall fescue. And I found that to be 0.65. I presented that this past year at ASA. That does correlate to a strong environmental interaction with disease resistance. Narrowest sense heritability is the additive variance to the phenotypic variance, and this is important to plant breeders because this is what can be selected for in a breeding program. It can be calculated using the means of the offspring and mid-parent running regression analysis, where the slope of the line is equal to the narrowest sense heritability, and that is what calculation will be used in this study. Looking at maternal effects gives us an idea if using a specific mother influences the trait, as it states. And it's a comparison between the progeny means of reciprocal crosses, and it's evaluated for significance using a two-sample t-test. Heterosis is used to determine if there is presence of dominant gene action, and this is done by comparing between progeny and mid-parent means, and it also will be evaluated for significance using a two-sample t-test. For this study, controlled greenhouse crosses were used. This was conducted in the spring of 2006, where six parental plants were used. They were selected for their evaluation of brown patch resistance from previous years. Three plants were selected as resistant, three plants were selected to be susceptible. A diallel design with reciprocal cross was used. This enabled us to have three susceptible by susceptible crosses with reciprocal, nine susceptible by resistant crosses with the reciprocal crosses made, and three resistant by resistant crosses with reciprocal. From each plant, seed was harvested from each parent plant from every cross. Seed was harvested and germinated in the greenhouse. From that, 100 individuals were randomly selected from each parent. They were planted in a field trial, which was set up in a randomized complete block design. Each progeny line was replicated 4 times, and each rep consisted of 25 individuals from each progeny line. The parent plants were also clonally replicated 6 times throughout each rep. The picture is of the field, where each row represents a progeny line, and we have the 4 reps where each progeny line was randomized throughout. Mowing height was set to 6.35 centimeters, and 14 grams of nitrogen per meter squared were applied to the study. To ensure that we did have uniform disease pressure, inoculum was used. It was prepared with using 1 isolate of rhizoctonia solanae that was grown on sterilized Kentucky bluegrass seed in ball jars, which I have a picture of on the right. When the mycelium completely covered the seed, it was allowed to air dry, where it was then sieved and applied with a drop spreader at a rate of 0.8 grams per meter squared over the entire field. Disease ratings were taken on a visual scale of 1 to 9, 9 equaling the least amount of disease. And the rating dates for this study were July 30th, August 9th, and August 16th. Moving to the results, these pictures just illustrate what we see in the field with the plots. You can see that we do have lesions developing on the leaf, and this was rated for disease severity. We just start off by looking at the results for the parents used in the crosses. I've highlighted the 3 resistant parents. As you can tell, they did have disease, mean disease ratings over 7. However, it is worth noting that the susceptible parents actually performed moderately well this past year. They were selected, when they were selected for the study, they had had mean ratings of 3. But we saw this year that the environmental pressures may have been different. And I just like to point that out now. If we take a look at the F1 progeny distribution, for time's sake, I will only give you 1 example for each type of cross. This is looking at the susceptible by susceptible cross. On the x-axis, we have the brown patch disease rating scale, 1 to 9. On the y-axis is the number of progeny that fell into each category. What I'd like you to notice is that we do have a range of phenotypes. There are no discrete reaction classes of susceptibility or resistance. And we do have our progeny mean for this cross of 5.24. And we also have the means listed for the susceptible parents used. If we look at distribution from a resistant times susceptible cross, we see that the progeny mean has increased to 5.8. But once again, we do see a range of phenotypes with no discrete reaction classes. And finally, for our resistant by resistant cross, we see that the progeny mean has now been shifted more to the right, 6.6. And just to set it up, we do see that the 2 parent means are actually greater than the progeny mean, and I will discuss this later. But once again, we do see a range of phenotypes. And it must be pointed out that this was a 1 to 9 scale in all 3 cases. Not one progeny actually exhibited complete resistance. For the narrow sense heritability calculation, as I stated, we would be using a mid-parent progeny regression analysis. The mid-parent means were plotted on the x-axis, and our progeny means were plotted on the y-axis. The slope of the regression line is equal to the narrow sense heritability, which in this case is 0.54. We look at the results from maternal effects. I apologize for how many numbers are up here. What's important to pay attention to is what the comparison for maternal effects is the, you're comparing the means of the progeny from the female parent, which is listed here, and the male parent. So the female progeny female parent progeny compared to the male progeny mean brown patch rating, there were no significant differences, so we did not see maternal effects for this trait. When we look at heterosis, this is where things become a little interesting. We are looking at only our susceptible by susceptible crosses, and heterosis is the comparison of your mid-parent mean disease rating to your F1 population mean disease rating. And we see that in 3 cases, we do have significance for heterosis. When we look at our t-test value for heterosis, we do see that it is positive. This means that our progeny mean was actually greater than a mid-parent disease mean. And that would state that there would be dominance for resistance in our susceptible parents. When we look at our resistant by resistant cross, and we compare the means of the mid-parent means to the population means, we see that we do have a significance for heterosis in all cases. When we look at our heterosis, these are negative values, meaning that the population of the F1 performed worse than the mid-parent mean. This would indicate that we would have dominance for susceptibility in our resistant crosses. When we evaluate this over our susceptible by resistant crosses, we see no significance for heterosis. This may be explained by the fact that we have resistant dominance for resistance in our susceptible being crossed with dominance for susceptibility in our resistant parents, nullifying the heterosis effect and are resistant by susceptible crosses. For conclusions, we see that the narrow sensitivity estimate was 0.54. When we have a broad sensitivity estimate of 0.65, it can indicate that the majority of the genetic variants can be attributed to additive variants, while this still is a relatively low number. As far as progeny distribution, this does support quantitative inheritance. We do not have any discrete disease reaction classes, and coupled with lack of complete resistance. As far as maternal effects, none were found to be significant. But we do see with heterosis, we have significance for dominance in both directions. And this is where I go back to the fact that the susceptible parents did perform better in this environment, which I believe indicates that we do have strong environmental interactions affecting brown patch resistance. That may outplay genetic variants. So breeding for resistance, we must have a high selection intensity because we do have a low narrow sense heritability estimate. We do need to do progeny parent evaluation so we can select parents with dominance for resistance. And we must remember that the environment does play a significant role in resistance. So testing must be conducted over several environments. At this time, I'd like to acknowledge Dr. Meyer and Dr. Bonus for their help in this presentation and research. And if time allows, I would answer any of your questions. Thank you. We only use one isolate so that we couldn't have any. Well, the question is, how many isolates do we use? We use one isolate so that we not have any resistance and covered up by using multiple isolates.
Do you know where that isolate came from and what its masking isolate is?
The question is, do I know the characterization of the isolate? I know that it was isolated off of tall fescue in Pennsylvania. As far as the anastomosis group, that has yet to be determined. The question is, how many genes are involved in resistance for brown patch? At this point, I have not done the calculations to determine that, but that is something that we will be looking into. I think that it is polygenetic, but I also think that it's strongly influenced by the environment. Yes, I did.
Is there any other question for John? If not, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Councilor Mayor.